Isaiah 52 and 8 says this, "Thy watchmen shall lift up the voice. With the voice together shall they sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion." And God spoke a word to me, and I alluded to it when we were worshiping because it's in my spirit, but God's called us to be watchmen. Amen? And the Lord spoke that to my spirit, you know, that you are the watchman of the city. And y'all have heard me at LifeWind say this before, that God's called us to be watchmen in this city. He set us upon the walls of the city to watch. And as he began to speak that word to me, my spirit, my heart was like, what does that mean? You know, what's it mean to be a watchman, God? What, you know, I understand you're calling us that, but what does it mean? Who are the watchmen? And I began to do a study on the word watchman itself, and even in this scripture, this is what the word watchman means. Watchmen, they are keepers. They're guards. They are protectors. One of the references says they are shepherds or elders. You know, we've got a word over us that this community is going to look at us as elders in the city. Amen? What's that mean? That means they're going to look at us as people of influence. How many know God's called us to be the salt of the earth? And salt is an influence. Amen? It's an influencer. It don't just make food taste good. Y'all heard me say this, but it brings out the best in food. And God has called us to bring out the best in people because we are the salt of the earth. Won't you look at your neighbor and say, you're the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. God's called us to illuminate people. So they are elders. They are shepherds. They are the ones that keep watch over the city. And God is calling us to take our position in this region as watchmen. As the watchmen. And I'm going to tell you something, church. We don't need to take that lightly. We don't need to take the call of God lightly and what he's called us to do and be. If he's called us to be watchmen, then we need to take that seriously, you know. And if we'll receive it as such, God will begin to mandate us and give us anointing and power to be the watchmen of this city. I mean, and I believe it. But God is calling us to take our position as watchmen, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen? I mean, no, he's anointed us to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord. Oh, I love that. I love that. And there is a sound. Y'all have heard me say this before, but there's a sound resonating in the atmosphere. And I believe it's the blast that comes from the horn of a male lamb. Amen. His name's Jesus. And God is setting that trumpet to our lips that we will proclaim liberty in this region and in this area. And all those that will come together and receive that call, amen, God's going to give them that same trumpet to put to their lips and blast out the call that the Lord, he is good. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Amen. People are going to begin to taste, and then their eyes will be open. They'll see. In other words, when they begin to partake of what we're going to feed them, look at your neighbor and say, we need to feed them more lamb. Got to be more lamb. Say it like in the South, more lamb. We got to eat more lamb. How many know you become what you eat? Amen. Amen. I've eaten a lot of chicken. Okay? That don't mean I'm a chicken, though. But if we eat more lamb, guess what? We'll become like the lamb. Amen. And if we'll feed the lamb to this area that God's called us to be in, guess what? They're going to become more like him because they'll become what they're eating of. Amen. We got to feed them more lamb. And they'll begin to taste of that lamb. And then revelation will come. Taste and see that the Lord, he is good. Amen. And he has a good plan for their life. And you receive that today. Amen. Hallelujah. So there's a sound that's resonating in our spirits. I've alluded to this before, and Pastor Eric, when he was here, he alluded to it. You know, sometimes I hear that, and I was sharing with Lady J last night at the house as I was getting this word together and everything and getting scriptures together, and she looked over me, and I had tears in my eyes, and she was like, what's wrong with you? And I said, I'm just a little overwhelmed. As I began to read the scriptures that the Lord was bringing out to me, and what he was speaking to us in it, it began to hit right here because it began to sound like that sound that I've been hearing in my spirit for years about God wanting to do something great with a people. See, I did a search on some revivals, and me and Pastor Bill back here, we were in a revival at Bolivar years ago. What year was that, Brother Bill? 90-something? 96 or something? 17 weeks, is that right? Something like that? Every night, saw hundreds of people get saved, baptized. You know, just miraculous things take place. And Brother Bill had went down and was part of the Brownsville revival down there in Florida. And I think you went there first, didn't you, before the revival started? and came back. He was pastoring Assembly of God Church, First Assembly in Bolivar, Tennessee. But that residue of that glory, amen, was brought back to Hardeman County. And, you know, I tell people all the time, you know, you're going to have the naysayers, you know, that'll say, well, it was this or it was that, or they were trying to copy or mimic, blah, blah, blah. But whatever. I know I lived in that county all my life. And me and some buddies, we used to get together at 5 o'clock in the morning. We'd pray that revival would hit Hardeman County. Amen. I'm not saying that, you know, I'm such a great prayer or we were such great men of faith, but I know this is what we was praying for. Amen. Amen. And God answered that prayer through that, and we saw something happen in that area that never happened before. And I was looking at some of the revivals, Azusa Street, some of those things, you know, just check, looking the history of them, the Welsh revival. And one of the things that troubled me, Brother Bill, when I was studying like Azusa Street, you know, it went for a few years, but now that place is not even there anymore. You know, and I thought, wow, it just kind of, it hit me like a ton of bricks. The place that's recognized as the Pentecostal outpouring of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, Azusa Street, with William Seymour preaching that, you had a multicultural situation going on. You had black folks, white folks, Hispanic folks coming together. You had women preaching, my God, you know, during that time, you know, pastoring churches and stuff back in the early 1900s. You know, this was unheard of. And this stuff was happening and everything. And God sovereignly poured himself out in that place, and thousands of people literally from all over the world came to that place and experienced the Azusa Street revival. And as I was reading, I thought, man, it was some great thing. But what troubled me in that was that, man, that place is not even there anymore. They tore the building down. You know, it shut down, and it quit. Why are you saying this? I'm not saying it to bring a downer to anything, but I'm saying this. I believe what God's called us to do in this hour, in this season of life. When I say us, I'm talking about Life in Covenant Church. I'm talking about everybody in this place. What God has called the people of God to do in this hour is to become people who set something in motion that will not fail, that will not be done away with, that will not go away, but something that will be established forever. Amen? And I believe it's the kingdom of God, okay? I believe it's the kingdom of God is what we're bringing into the earth realm. You know, Jesus said it like this. He said, the kingdom's not over here, and the kingdom's not over there, but behold, the kingdom of God is within you. Amen? So every place that we go, we got to bring in a new form of government called the kingdom of God. Amen? The kingdom of God lifestyle and everything we do. What's that mean? That means that we are people that are ruled and reigned by him. Amen? And when we bring that into, because the scripture teaches us that his kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. It's something that won't fail. Amen? Did God do these great outpourings? Absolutely. I believe it with all my heart. But God, when he does something that will not fail. Amen? And what God is calling us to in this hour is being watchmen, is doing something that will not fail. It's been set to our lips, this mandate of the Lord for us in this season, to bring illumination. Amen? When the Lord shall bring again Zion, like we read in Isaiah 52 and 8. And Zion is simply the people of God. Amen? He's raising us up as a people. I'll get it out in a minute. He's raising us up as a people who will unveil the people of God that's lying dormant in this region. Amen? Look at Isaiah 52 and 8 again, the last part. It says, with a voice together they shall sing, for they shall see eye to eye when the Lord shall bring again Zion. God's calling us in this hour, man of God, woman of God. God's calling us in this hour to raise up the people of God that are lying dormant in our realm of influence. Amen? They don't know who they are. Amen? They got a case, Brother Mark, a mistaken identity. Amen? They don't realize who they were created to be. It's up to us, the people of God, to go and speak to those dry bones. Can these bones live? We preached that not too long ago in here. Yes, they can. But we've got to speak to those situations. We've got to give a voice to what we're hearing in our ear. Amen? He's given us the voice of the watchman. That's what I want to talk about today, the voice of the watchman. The watchmen are people of unity. If you look at Isaiah 52 and 8 again, it says they lifted up their voice together. First of all, watchmen, The watchmen are going to be people of unity. They're unified together. They're going to be people that lift their voice together. Amen. It ain't a one-man show. Okay? It's not a Lone Ranger episode. Amen. But it's people that lift their voice together that are watchmen. People that are watchmen, they are people of worship. It says in Isaiah 52:8 that they shall sing. And I believe what God's calling us to in this hour, He's bringing a people up and raising a people up that's going to sing the song of the Lord. Amen. They're going to be people that worship, that get, we say it in here sometimes, we get stuck in worship. Okay, or we get lost in worship. We get lost in His presence. The watchmen are people who sing. They get lost in worship. They are worshipers. And thirdly, the watchmen are people of the prophetic. In Isaiah 52:8, it says, they shall see eye to eye. So this people that God is calling us to be, the watchmen that God is calling us to be, guess, they're people of unity, they're people of worship, and they're people that have prophetic utterance. Amen? They have something to say. They're able to see eye to eye. Amen? I love that. I love that. Isaiah 62, verses 5 through 7. Says this, for as a young man marrieth a virgin, so shall the sons marry thee. And as the bridegroom rejoices over the bride, so shall thy God rejoice over thee. I have set watchmen upon thy walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. Ye that make mention of the Lord, keep not silence. Verse 7, and give him no rest till he establish, until he make Jerusalem a praise in the earth. God is establishing the eternal things in this region, in this season. God is determined to establish himself of eternal things in this region. Amen. His bride is coming forth from the darkness into the light. Amen. It's up to us as the watchmen to go get the bride. Amen. Amen. The ones that belong to him. The ones that are supposed to be married to him. You know, us as watchmen, we are to go out and bring them in. Amen. They're in a dark place right now. But see, the scripture just told us that, you know, we're not going to hold our peace day or night. Amen. We're children of the day. Hallelujah. Amen. So we go and bring people, because we're of the day, we bring people from darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. Proverbs 25:2 says this, it is the glory of God to conceal a thing. This is amplified. But the glory of kings is to search out a thing. Let me say it again. It is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings is to search out a thing. Any kings and priests, amen, any of a royal priest, anybody belong to that group in here? Come on, lift your hands high if you're a king or priest in the earth. Come on. See, Brother Bill, I've been saying it in here a long time. I believe God's trying to bring the church to a place to where we become what I call believers. Amen? Amen? And don't hear what I'm not saying right now, okay? But when I said, how many kings and priests in here, raise your hand, I mean, it was like a hesitation. You know why? Because we can't see ourselves as walking in that position. Amen? So we hesitate. Why? Because we focus more on what we're not doing than what we are doing. I wish somebody would say amen. Amen? Say it like this. You'll never see Christ manifest in other people until you can see Christ manifest in you. In other words, I'll never see Jesus in Sean until I can first see Jesus in me. Amen? We got to become believers. When God says that I am the salt of the earth and I am the light of the world, I got to believe that. When he says I can do all things through him that strengthens me, I got to believe that. Amen? I've got to believe that. So it is the glory of God to conceal a thing, but the glory of kings to search a thing out. There's some kings and priests in here. Look at what it says in the New Living Translation. It is God's privilege to conceal things and the king's privilege to discover them. I want to discover some things. Amen. I want to discover some things. The voice of the watchman is a voice that discovers the glory of God that has been concealed. Let me say that again. The voice of the watchman is a voice that discovers, amen, the glory of God that has been concealed. I believe God's raising up a people in this time and in this season and in this place and in this house that are hungry for a manifestation of his glory. Amen? I believe that. You know, I've told you guys this before, that I don't want the attraction of this church to be some kind of good program that we got going. Amen? But I want the traction of this church to be His anointing and His glory. Amen. I don't want to have to put a sign up out there or anything that says, and nothing wrong with that. So don't hear what I'm not saying. But y'all know what I'm talking about. I want it to be His glory that attracts people into this place. Because God has, look at the person beside you. Come on, look at the person on the left and on the right. Come on, look at them. Look at them. God has anointed that person to your left and right with a spirit of attraction. It's called Christ in us, the hope of glory. Amen. And if we've got a hope of glory, guess what? We're going to have to manifest His presence. Oh, hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:16 and 18 says this. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal, somebody say, weight of glory. Amen. Weight of glory. Verse 18 says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Come on, we're discovering, the voice of the watchman are people that discover or uncover, amen, the eternal things of God, the glory of God. We are seeing those things that are eternal. What is this weight of glory? Glory, by definition, means this in the scriptures. It means splendor, abundance. It means presence. It means weighty or heavy. Amen. So it's not just the presence of God, amen, that's His glory, but it's a tangible presence of His God, of His glory, rather, of God. In other words, I can feel it. I can feel it. It's like a weight. It's like a heaviness. Oh my Lord, it's getting thick in here. Amen. When we're in worship, and you could feel His presence. There's a tangible presence of His, our natural bodies don't know how to respond to it, Brother Bill, when we begin to get into His presence. But the glory of God, it's tangible, it's weighty. God is omnipresent, means He's everywhere all the time. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, we can't get away from His presence. The glory of God is like the cloud in the wilderness. Amen. When they were, the tabernacle of Moses, when they were traveling, it's like that cloud. We've talked about that before in here. It was like the cloud by day and the fire by night that led Moses through the wilderness. It was a visible and tangible manifestation of the presence of God, this cloud by day and this fire by night. They could see the cloud. They could see the fire. They could feel the results of the cloud. They could hear voices thundering from the cloud and the fire. You know what I'm saying? There was a tangible presence. It was His glory that was in a place. It was the weight of glory. It was visible and tangible. Amen. It was a manifest presence. So the glory of God has weightiness that can be experienced through our five senses. Amen? Sometimes you can smell the presence of God. It's like a fragrance. What's it smell like? The presence of God? I can't say roses or, what I'm saying? But y'all know what I'm saying? Anybody ever had smelt a fragrance that was in the room? It was like, and I don't know what it is, but I like it. I like it. So we can, the glory of God is something that can be experienced through our five senses. But listen to this. What's going to release this glory? How are we that have the voice of the watchman, how are we going to release this glory? Let's look at this in 2 Chronicles 5:1-6. I call this the order of glory. Verse 1 of 2 Chronicles chapter 5 says, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Ugh, that'll preach right there. All the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. How many know we're flowing out of a finished work today? Amen. Solomon brought in all the things that David his father had dedicated, the silver, the gold, all the instruments. He put them among the treasures of the house of God. Man, I heard somebody say this when the wise men came to Jesus. They bowed down before the manger there. And it says they opened up their treasures. They bowed down to worship Him, and they opened up their treasures. You realize when we bow down to worship Him, we're like His treasure chest. And we open up our treasures before Him, and He sees everything that He's put inside of us as we begin to come to Him humbly in worship. Amen. That ought to paint a real good picture for you, why you ought to bow your knees to the Lord, why you ought to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Amen. Why? Because as we bow before the Lamb that was slain before the foundations of the earth, amen, he opens us up like his treasure chest. How many know we are the treasure that the man found? Amen. How many know we are the pearl of great price? Come on, somebody. Amen. We are the ones that is his treasure. And he wants to give us and distribute us into all the earth. Oh, man, why? Because that's the way God does things. So they brought the treasures of God amongst the house of God. Verse 2, then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel, unto Jerusalem to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast, which was in the seventh month, and all the elders of Israel came. The Levites took up the ark. Verse 5 says, and they brought up the ark, the tabernacle, the congregation, the holy vessels. They brought it all up. The priests did bring up the things that they brought, and the Levites. Verse 6, also King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel were assembled unto him before the ark, sacrificed sheep and oxen, which could not be told for numbered for multitude. A lot of sacrificing going on. So the order of glory is this. How are we going to release the glory in our region? Amen. The first order of glory is this, being released, is this, that all things dedicated because of the finished work must be brought into the house. I'll say it again. All things that have been dedicated to the Lord because of the finished work, amen, must be brought into the house. How many of you have been dedicated to the Lord because of the finished work? You've been brought into the house. Well, that's the first order of bringing the glory, and you've got to be first dedicated to him and brought into the house, amen. The silver, which is a picture of redemption, the gold, which is a picture of divinity, the instruments of service, which is a picture of the saints, giftings, talents, the treasures of the house or ministries. Amen? God has brought all these things into the house. That's the first order to see the glory released in a place. There's things got to be set in order. Amen? There's got to be people that brought in the saints that do service, the ones that have talents. God's gathered people from all different places in this house that have different talents and different giftings. Amen? Why? Because I don't have all the giftings and talents it's going to take to do what God wants to do in this region that we're in. Amen? So he has to bring them all the dedicated things into the house and gather them together in one place. Come on, somebody. Why? Because he's got a plan. He's got a plan. Amen? He's got a plan. He's given us the voice of the watchman. We have a job to do. There's a call on our lives. The second order of the glory being released is that the leadership must be assembled and set in place. He brought all the leadership, the Levites and the priests. Amen? How many know we did teaching in here on the government of God? Amen? Amen? Church government. We talked about elders and how God does it. And God has a theocracy, not a democracy. Okay? Let me say it like, not a demonocracy. Let me say it like that. How about that? But God has a theocracy, where God sets, appoints, and anoints leaders in the house. Amen? They ain't voted in, they ain't voted out. God sets them in. Amen? The same way he does a congregation. God, we don't vote. I didn't vote for the Watkins. We didn't take a vote. We think the Watkins ought to be part of Life One Covenant Church. Let's everybody raise it, you know. God sent them here. Come on, the Connells and the Crumleys, all the way from Florida. Amen? God sent them here. God set them, just like God sets leaders in position as far as elders and deacons and pastors and leaders of the church, you know, the fivefold ministry, ascension gifts and everything that God sets up. He sets them, appoints them, and anoints them. God sets, appoints, and anoints a congregation. Come on, somebody. Amen. That's why you can't just pull yourself up and go over here somewhere and pull yourself up and go over there somewhere. Amen. Why? Because if you keep doing that, you're going to become unfruitful. Amen. God wants to plant you. I mean, no, he's the gardener. He's the one that dresses the vineyard. Amen. When Mary saw him at the tomb, she thought he was the gardener. You know why? Because he is the gardener. Amen. He's the one that plants. He's the one that waters. He's the one that gives increase. So they got the leadership in order. The third thing that they did for the order of glory to be released is that the congregation was assembled unto him. We just talked about that. We offer a sacrifice of praise unto the Lamb who was slain, to give us strength. Amen. That's the order of glory. Now let's look at the release. Amen. Because we're talking about what's going to release the glory in the house. Watchmen. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verse 11. And I'm gonna skip through this a lot. It came to pass that the priests would come out of the holy place. Verse 11. Verse 12 says, and the Levites, which were the singers, and all Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, with their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen. They had cymbals and psalteries and harps. They stood at the east of the altar. It was 120 priests sounding with trumpets. Amen. I love it. Verse 13, it came even to pass as the trumpeters and singers were as one to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Amen. They heard the instruments of music and people praising God, saying, He is good, for His mercy endureth forever. Then the house was filled, somebody say, with a cloud. Amen. Even the house of the Lord. So that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house. The release of the glory begins with an assembly of singers and worshipers being arrayed in white linen, which is a picture of righteousness. Anybody here been clothed in His righteousness? Amen. It begins with us coming together as worshipers because we've been dressed in white linen. We stand as priests unto the nations. Amen. They all had an instrument of praise. Every one of them had an instrument of praise. Some of them had cymbals. Some of them had psalteries. Some of them had a harp. Some of them just had a voice. Some of them had hand claps. Somebody in here was clapping hands today. Amen. They all had something to worship God with. They all had an instrument of praise to release the glory. Amen. Oh, that's good. So the release of the glory next begins with the whole assembly becoming as one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. Remember, the watchmen are people of unity. Okay? So if the glory of God's going to be released in this region, guess what? We're going to have to come together as one sound. Amen. Shouting and singing unto the Lord. The Azusa Street Revival, some of the newspaper clippings that I read about that, they talked about, you know, they were trying to slur them is what they were trying to do. You know, they're worshiping and folks is falling down on the sawdust floor and rolling around. That's where they start calling them holy rollers. Amen. Because they were experiencing the presence of God. Singing, and they started, and I thought this was funny. They sing this, I can't even remember the name of the song, but they sing this one song. They sing it all the time, over and over and over and over again. They sing that same song over and over and over. But the glory of God was hitting the place. Amen. And they were being criticized and slurred because of the order that they had. Because people said when they came to that place, some people were skeptics that came to the Azusa Street Revival. And they were looking at that place and they said, you know what? When we come to this place, I'm going to start looking for things to critique. I'm going to start making my list and checking it twice. Amen. See what, you know, why this ain't God. You know? And as they began to come, said these skeptics, these critics would come into the place and they begin to realize, you know what? Ain't no man in control of this thing. But it's the Holy Ghost that's in control of this thing. I better step out of the way. Amen. So God begins to call people together, and the assembly becomes as one sound. It said of the Azusa Street Revival that they could hear them in the night singing praises unto God like one voice. Oh, that's awesome. Man, that's awesome. Thanking the Lord. All in one accord, declaring the goodness and the mercy of the Lord that endures forever. And then the glory of the Lord manifest, it says, as a cloud in that place. And it filled the house of the Lord. This weight of glory was so powerful that the priests were not able to stand or minister, for the Lord had filled the house with His glory. In other words, God stepped up to the pulpit and said, I'll preach. Oh, I'll step up to the pulpit. Y'all just lay prostrate before me. I'm sorry, prostrate before me there. Amen. I'll preach. Amen. The Lord Himself began to minister in the house. How many know He don't miss it? So you see, our anointings, our giftings, and our abilities alone will not be the attraction of our churches. Amen. They will not. Only the glory of God, the tangible manifest weight of His presence will be the attraction that will bring the nations to the house of the Lord. Amen. Advertisement, gimmicks, programs, they all have their place. Okay? But these things alone will not accomplish the plan and the purpose that God has for His church. I like saying it like this. If we don't have the glory, we don't have nothing. If we don't have the glory, we don't have nothing. See, the glory of God, in these revivals I read about, I mean, you read about whole cities being transformed. I think, if I'm correct, it was the Welsh Revival in I think Ireland, England, somewhere like that. I can't remember now the country. But anyway, it wasn't Tennessee. Wales, that's where it was, Wales. That country of Wales, because of the Welsh revival. 25% of that nation got born again through that revival. Oh, my God. Ah! Oh, Lord. That blew me away. Listen, think about that. Think about what God wants to do right here in life when coming to church. Come on, somebody. 25% of Selma, Tennessee, amen, experienced the baptism of the Holy Ghost and an outpouring of salvation in this city. Amen. Think about that. That's incredible. That's incredible. How did that take place? There was an order that was established. Amen. People were hungry for God. People began to pray. People began to seek God. People became unified together for one course of action to take place. Amen. And as they became one with the Father, amen, He began to release His glory. As things were set in order, there was a release that came in those places. We don't have the glory. We don't have nothing. So something to note concerning the glory of God being released in the house is found in chapter 6 and 7 of 2 Chronicles. And I believe this is a vital key to unlocking the release that we say we desire. Amen? The glory of God that we say we desire to be in this place. 2 Chronicles 7 verses 1 and 2 says this. When Solomon had made an end of praying, the fire came down. Oh, and it consumed the burnt offerings and the sacrifice, and the glory of the Lord filled the house. Verse 2 says, and the priests could not enter the house of the Lord because the glory of the Lord had filled the house again. Amen. When? After he prayed. 2 Chronicles 7:14 says this, if my people, which are called by my name, y'all have heard this before, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and then I will heal their land. So after Solomon prayed, the fire of God came down and the glory filled the house. Okay? Again, the priest could not enter the house to minister because of the glory. So the prayer of Solomon paints a picture of the glory that was going to be revealed and released to all nations who would come to the Lord. So prayer will be the vital key, church, hear this, to releasing this kind of manifested glory. I believe it. I believe we got to, you know, God give us a word in here not too long ago, separation is preparation. And God said, God is separating us unto himself. Amen. And he's calling us to separate ourselves from things. I used Abraham as an example. Brother Bill and Brother Mark, I know some of you guys have heard this. But there were seven separations that Abraham went through before he received the promise and the place that God was trying to take him to. And the first separation was he had to leave his country. Okay? And country is just a picture of a country that has boundary lines or limitations. So God is calling us to separate ourselves from things that limit us if we're going to receive what he has for us. You know, the next thing he said he had to separate from his kindred, the place of his nativity. He was from the Ur of Chaldees. They were moon worshipers. Okay? You know, he had to leave that. In other words, it's a picture of us leaving the church system that we came from, doctrines, beliefs. God calls us to separate ourselves from those things too. Amen. Before we can, and I'm sure his family wanted him to stay there. Come on, Abraham, stay here and worship the moon with us. You know, we've done it all these. Granddaddy did it. Great-great-granddaddy did it. Great-great-grandmommy did it. You know what I'm saying? We got to leave the place, separate ourselves from the place of our nativity if we're going to carry out the things that God wants us to do. Amen. So this prayer of Solomon, it paints a picture for us. We want to release this kind of manifested glory. There's three things. It's got to be practiced by the saints in order for the glory to be released. Number one is pray or cry out. Number two, according to 2 Chronicles 7:14, you got to seek. Look for his face. The third thing is that they did, they turned from their wicked ways. And this talks about twisted mindsets. In other words, it's kind of like Abraham. You got to separate yourself from old mindsets. You know, well, this is the way we've always done it. This is the way, you know, we've always sang two hymns and had a prayer, took up the offering, then preached and went home. You know what I'm saying? We got to, it's our mindsets that get fixed on certain things. If we're going to see the glory of God manifest, if we're going to be the watchman of the city and speak and have a voice of the watchman in this place, then we're going to have to be people that know how to pray and seek his face and turn from our twisted mindsets. Amen? And get back into the things that God wants us to do. Isaiah 62:6-7 says this. This is the contemporary English version. This made me cry. Because God said, you know, I've called you to be watchmen. Verse 6 of Isaiah 62, the contemporary English version says it like this. It says, Jerusalem, on your walls I have stationed guards, whose duty it is to speak out day and night without resting. They must remind the Lord and not let him rest till he makes Jerusalem strong and famous everywhere. Amen, Brother Mark. God spoke that to my heart, and I put Selma in there. Selma, on your walls, I have stationed guards, whose duty it is to speak out day and night without resting. They must remind the Lord and not let him rest till he makes Selma strong and famous everywhere. I believe, Brother Bill, that's the same prayer that William Seymour prayed for Azusa Street. Amen. That Parham and the folks at the Welsh Revival and at Brownsville, I've read stories about Brother Kilpatrick down there and how the people asked him, how did this thing start? And they said, we started praying and believing God. You know, I believe with all my heart that it began with them crying out and not ceasing. Come on, somebody, and kept reminding the Lord, God, you said there was going to be an outpouring of your spirit in this place, God. You said that your kingdom was an everlasting kingdom, God. God, you said that you were hungry, Father, for none to perish, but that all should come to repentance, God. You said that, God, and we remind him day and night, amen, till he begins to establish that in the earth and his kingdom, amen. We tear a hole in heaven, amen, and then heaven touches earth because of our prayers and because of our hunger for him. And we see a manifestation, and he'll make this place famous. I've told you guys here that God has not just set this church up to be another church on the block. I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But God has set us in motion to change the culture of a region. I believe that. Amen. Does that mean we're the only church? No, that's not what I'm saying. But I know that God's called us to be a watchman. Amen. And if we're a watchman, then we have a mandate of the Lord to not give him rest, amen, until he makes Selma and this region strong and famous everywhere. Just like Tulsa. Y'all heard me say this before. Man, Bishop Huskins, a guy that we know that preaches, Brother Mark, he was going to Las Vegas, and they were going through Tulsa, Oklahoma. And everybody that knows things about Tulsa, Oklahoma knows it's a lot of church ministries there and, you know, Bible colleges and stuff like that. And he said the thing he noticed, there was a wreck on the interstate right there at Tulsa. Okay, and he said, you know, everybody rubbernecks, you know, trying to see, you know, a lot of people won't see somebody, oh, something gory, you know, whatever. And they begin to look, you know, but he said, when you go through Tulsa, he said, people just don't rubberneck. He said, every car went by, the hand stuck out the window like this, praying for, you know. Why? Because there's been a culture change in that place, and that place is known. Even when I said it then, you guys know that that place is known for ministries that's there. On the flip-flop, Las Vegas is known for Sin City. There's a culture that's been established here. Well, God's called us as watchmen to change the culture of a region. Amen? To when people come to Selma, Tennessee, and Corinth, and Adamsville, and Savannah, and all around here, that they know, man, that place is a spiritual hub. That people from all over the nation, I'm going to prophesy right now, that people from all over the nations are going to come to this place, that they can receive what the Lord is doing. And be strengthened just like the old revivals that we've read about in the history that's been made through other revivals in other cities. Pensacola, amen, up in Canada, you know, Azusa Street, over in Wales, all these places that we've read about, down in Florida, you know, all these places that they're having outbreaks and awakenings, if you would. God has called us to keep that momentum going. He don't want it to stop. I wish somebody would help me. He don't want it to stop. He wants it to continue to gain momentum. Say momentum. Momentum. Come on, say it. Momentum. You know what momentum is? It's like when you kick a kickball and it's going and it starts slowing down. Well, you got to go kick it again. You know, and keep the momentum. It slows down. You got to kick it. You got to keep the momentum going. Amen. You got to keep kicking that thing. You got to keep pushing that thing along. Come on, you got to keep praying. You got to keep worshiping. Come on, somebody. Hallelujah. You got to keep believing. You got to keep believing. I feel the Holy Ghost. There's a mandate on us to be watchmen. It's a serious thing. Just like history records these famous great revivals that changed the face of entire cities, that caused them to come to the Lord. God is calling the watchman, whose duty it is to speak without resting until the Lord makes this region strong and famous. Amen. Isaiah 62, same scripture in the New Living Translation, verses 6 through 7, says it like this. O Jerusalem, I have posted watchmen on your walls. They will pray day and night continually. Take no rest, all you who pray to the Lord. Give the Lord no rest until he completes his work, until he makes Jerusalem the pride of the earth. Amen. Jeremiah 6, 16 through 18 says it like this. Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see and ask for the old paths. Where is the good way? Hear that. Walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk therein. Also I have set watchmen over you, saying, hearken to the sound of the trumpet. They said, we will not hearken. Therefore hear, ye nations, and know, O congregation, what is among them. There's got to be a voice of watchmen that's going to let the nations know what is among them. Is everybody going to answer the call? Probably not. Just like these did. They rejected that sound that they were hearing. Amen. But God said, let it be known. It ain't going to be because they didn't hear. Amen. And what God is wanting to do in this place, amen, if I die before it takes place, Lady J, it ain't going to be because they didn't hear a sound coming from a little fat man that was born around Somerville, Tennessee. Amen. That had set a trumpet of a male lamb to his lips and said, you know what? I'm going to blast the trumpet and I'm going to sound the alarm. Amen. I am going to leap over a wall and run through a troop. Amen. I'm going to believe it. I'm going to believe it. And I'm going to believe it some more. Because I know God's called us to be watchmen over the city. Hearken to the sound of the trumpet, he said. So the voice of the watchmen, they decide to decree a thing. So shall it be established, like Job said. You realize you got to decree things out of your mouth? Amen. You do. You have to make a decision. Job said it like that. You know, that word rest, kind of backing up, but that word rest in Jeremiah 6, verse 16, it says, you shall find rest. Interesting. I looked up that word, and it didn't just mean, you know, taking it easy. Like, oh. But it meant to be released or delivered or to set free. It referenced back to a word, I love this, that meant to coagulate. It's exactly what it said in the Greek lexicon, to coagulate. Something that's coagulating, it means it was in a liquid form and it's begun to become a solid form. It's starting, sort of like Jell-O. Jell-O, the chemical process, I'm going to give you a little chemistry lesson here. Jell-O, the ingredients that go into Jell-O when it's added to water and everything, it congeals. It becomes a gelatin, or it coagulates is what happens. It starts out as a liquid, and then it becomes a semi-soft mass. So something that's coagulating or that's been coagulated, it still has structure and form. Come on, somebody. But it could be shaped in anything. You could take Jell-O and you could pour it into a little round glass and it looks round, you know. And they got little shapes that they make with Jell-O and everything because it takes the form of what it's poured into. Why? It's coagulant. It's semi-soft. It's a semi-soft mass that can be molded into something. Job said it like this. He said, oh, that I was in the days of my youth. Amen. When I washed my steps with butter and the rock poured me out rivers of fresh oil. Amen. Butter, guess what? Butter is a coagulant substance. Amen. Butter is like clay. You can take it and form it into any shape you want to. And Job was saying like this. He said, listen, I learned when I was young that I'm going to allow the anointing of God in my life to shape me. Wash my steps like butter. In other words, I'm going to let him form me. I'm going to become a semi-soft mass in his hand. I'm going to become coagulant in the hands of the potter. Amen. Come on, somebody. I'm going to let him form and shape me into what I'm to be. Amen. I'm coagulant in him. And then when I do that, Brother Bill, I find rest to my soul because it's him form. And Job said it like this. He said, when I let God wash my steps with butter, the rock, how many know who the rock is? Poured me out like a river. I'm going to say it like this, anointing, oil. Amen. When we become moldable in his hands, somebody help me in here. When we become molded in his hand, guess what? The rock's going to pour us out. He's going to let us flow in his anointing. Amen. And everybody in this place wants to flow in his anointing. Amen. We want to flow in his power. Guess what? We got to become coagulant or find our place of rest in him. And see, it's when we take our posture of rest, amen, is when God can be glorified in the vessel. We got to take a posture of rest. I love that. So the voice of the watchman, and they decide to decree a thing. So shall it be established. Pastor Darrell over in Lexington, he said the Lord's been really bringing it home in his spirit to tell the congregation, you know, you got to start declaring things. You got to start speaking things. Amen. God said about Abraham, he said things about Abraham. He spoke those things that were not as though they already was. Amen. If I'm going to follow the pattern of my father, I got to start speaking things that are not as though they already was. Amen. And Pastor Darrell over there at Lexington, he started speaking in those chairs. He said, I'm glad this house is so full that we ain't got enough room for all the people in here. He started declaring that from the pulpit over there, man. And you know, and we decree things. Job tells us, when we begin to make a decision, God, I'm going to believe you. How many have a word of prophecy over your life? Go ahead. Won't you stand to your feet? I'm bringing it to a close. How many has ever had a word of prophecy over your life? God spoke some things to you. You know, God, some things that you may not have accomplished yet. Amen. Well, you know what? You got to start decreeing that thing. So shall it be established. The Bible says that so shall it be established that illumination would come. One translation says that the favor of God would begin to manifest in your life when you begin to decree these things out of your mouth. So the voice of the watchman, they make a decision. I'm going to decree a thing. So shall it be established. They have faith, listen to this, to believe the impossible. When I think about what God's called me and this woman of God to do, it's impossible to me, Brother Bill. I think, man, I can't do that. You know, it's too far out there. You know, God's ways are higher than my ways. I'm going to tell you, I got some high ways of thinking, don't I, sweetheart? I can really think out there. I really can. I can think way out there, but God says his ways are higher than that. So the things I'm thinking, man, if God's ways are thinking higher than my ways, I'm thinking, boy, it's impossible. It's impossible, God. You see, the voice of the watchman, they have faith to believe the impossible. They have eyes to see the invisible. And they have a heart to feel the intangible. And I know what God's called, and when I begin to talk like this and what God's called us to be as a church and as a people of God, you know, man, it seems like, man, is it possible? Can it really happen? I know it seems way out there that God wants other nations to come to Selma, Tennessee. You're talking about China. You're talking about, you know, Japan. You're talking about, you know, Ecuador, people from Ecuador. You're talking about all these different countries flocking to Selma, Tennessee because of the thing God's done. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. If we're going to be the voice of the watchman in this city, then we're going to have faith to believe the impossible. We're going to have eyes, amen, to see the invisible. And we're going to have a heart that's going to feel the intangible things that seem so far out there. See, the greatest lie in the kingdom right now about the kingdom of God and the things of God is that it's just, you know, it's just out of reach, you know. The enemy would want us to believe, you know, you can't manifest the kingdom of God in the earth because it's just, you can't do it. It's too far out there, you know. I don't care if you believe about the kingdom of God and the things of God as long as you keep it in the future. Come on, somebody. You know. And then some people saying, well, you know, I don't believe it's in the future. Well, the devil will tell them this lie. Well, you know, it's not in the future, but it's not for you. You know, so he keeps us bound that way, you know. And then the third lie that he would tell the people of God about the kingdom of God, well, you know, it may be for you, but you'll never walk in it. Amen. The watchman, the voice of the watchman, they got to believe the impossible. They got to see the invisible, and they got to feel the intangible. So we must take our place in the vision of God and know that we have the voice of the watchman. Can you say amen? Amen. I tell you what, bow your heads in this place. Father, we worship you in this place, God, and I want us just to, as we begin to pray in this place, thank you, Lord. Father, we worship you, God. Worship you, God. We worship you. worship you. Father, I pray that everything that was said here today, God, would begin to be solidified in us, God. God, let us know, God, if you've mandated us to be the voice of the watchman in this city, God, if you've really set us as guards, God, to set our lips to praying for this city, God, to pray for an outpouring of your presence, God, to pray for an outpouring of your spirit in this region, Lord God. God, if you've really called us to set the atmosphere in this place, God, and to be a people, Lord God, who set things in motion, Father, for a culture change to take place in this place. God, if that's really what you've done, God, let us have that voice that it takes to see those things accomplished. God, let us have the faith, God, to believe the impossible, Lord God. Let us have eyes to see the invisible things, Lord God. God, let us become as children again, Lord. God, that we can see the invisible things, God, and believe the impossible, God. God, let it be done in us, God, that we would have a heart to even feel the intangible things, God, that seem so far out there, God. Because you've given us the voice of the watchman. God, I thank you, God. We're going to be a people that pray, that seek your face, God. God, that turn from their twisted mindsets, Lord. People that want to dwell in your presence, God. God, I pray in the name of Jesus that you would solidify that right now, Father. So glad to see them here today in this place. Amen. Come on, bow your heads in this place. Father, I thank you, Father. Father, we've been here waiting in your presence, God. God, because we desired to hear from you, Father. We wanted to know, Father, the things that you're speaking to us, God. So, Father, I pray that everything, God, that was brought forth today in our worship and in the Word of God, Father, I thank you that it fell on good ground, Lord. Father, I pray that you begin to solidify those things in our lives, God. God, let us be the people that have the voice of the watchman, God, in our realms and spheres of influence, God, that you've called us to. Father, there's people in this place, God, that have been called to go to the nations, Lord God. I thank you, Lord God. That there's been people in this room, Lord God, that's been called to take your word, God, to declare freedom and liberty, God, to the nations, God. God, let us receive the mandate in this place, Father, today, Father, to carry out your word, God, and be the voice of the watchman, Lord God. I thank you that this sound, God, that's resonating in our spirits, God. God, let it never die, Father. But let those things come to fruition, God, in us. Thank you, Lord God. Because if we don't have your glory, God, we don't have nothing. So, Father, let us be a people that manifest and release your glory into this region, God. That lives would be changed, God, because of it. In the name of Jesus. Can you say amen in this place?